Turning back, please, to Luke chapter 15. With God's word open before us, and we seek the Lord's face and needed prayer for help during the preaching of His word. We've entitled our message tonight, Lost Sheep, Rescued and Returned. Let's all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank the Lord for these hymns we've been singing. Recognize even in that last hymn, it is under the children's section. Yet, Lord, we thank Thee for the tremendous words in it. And, O God, we pray that the great Shepherd and Bishop of our souls, the presence Himself with us, by the power of Thy Spirit, in the preaching of the Gospel tonight, we claim, Lord, the promise, the word that goeth forth out of Thy mouth shall not return unto Thee void, but it shall accomplish that which You please, and prosper in the thing whereto Thou hast sent. We pray, Lord, that Thy word would prosper much tonight, and prosper many a soul. O God, we pray this may be the night of their salvation. This might be the night, Lord, that they who are lost will be found. O God, answer prayer. To that end, I pray for the infilling of Thy Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst anoint me with fresh oil from above. I might touch these clay lips with a live coal from off the altar. We might preach as thus. And thus saith the Lord. Hear our humble cry. Answer prayer. For we offer it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. The Savior was never free from criticism and from accusation. That was, of course, more evident when the Pharisees and when the scribes were in His very presence. Having already spoken some parables as they are recorded for us in Luke chapter 14, the Lord again is found to speak some other words in response to the criticism. The criticism being that He receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Thank God tonight Christ doth receive sinful men, and He does fellowship with them. For if He didn't, there would be no message of the gospel to preach. And that was the criticism, as you find it in verse 2, of the Pharisees and the scribes. This man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. But as we cross over into chapter 15 of Luke, we do so being well aware that this is a chapter which is familiar to most. And yet, having said that, there is a great misconception that there are three parables recorded here in Luke chapter 15, when in fact there is but one parable with three parts to it. That maybe comes as a shock to some of you. But it is clear from the words of verse 3. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, you don't have another break like that after verse 7. You don't have another break after verse 11. This is one parable with three parts. Don't forget that. In each of these there are, of course, the similarities. But there are also the differences. There is something that is lost. There's a sheep, a coin, a son. And how they have become lost is by different circumstances. One's own stupidity and others' action
and one's own rebellion. And men and women bring them all together, and we have a complete picture of man's condition before God. Through the sheep, man is lost, and therefore he is in danger. Through the coin, because it is lost, it's in darkness. And the son, because it is lost, he is lost. He is in a most destitute state. But they also show in each instance what God does for them. In the coin there is regeneration. There is the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing that coin to the person. In the lost son there is reconciliation with an offended father. But to understand that those two are grounded first and foremost upon the work of redemption. And that is the work of God the Son, the Shepherd, of whom we read about and is spoken of in these opening verses. It is obvious that the parable betrays the Godhead involved in the salvation of a guilty and lost sinner. And I'm sure you have heard it preached, as I have heard it preached, about the lost son in the context of a backslider. It's nothing of the sort. In the context, that son is lost. And the father said, "This is my son who was lost, but now is found." That's why we have a message that is worth proclaiming tonight. It is of the Savior who came as a shepherd to seek and to save that which was lost. And as I draw your attention to these words, it is my prayer that you would be that sheep tonight, that sheep that is rescued, and that sheep that is returned to the very fold. I want you to consider with me, first of all, the search. If there is one dominant truth that is found throughout the Word of God, and it is the fact that mankind is lost because of his sin, and therefore it ought not surprise us that the Lord often uses the analogy of the common sheep to betray mankind. Why? Because the sheep is well known for getting lost. Verse 4, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? By its own stupidity, it will find a hole in the hedge." If there's a hole in the ditch, the sheep will find it. And the sheep will go through it. And more often than not, the rest of the flock are not too far behind. It'll follow it. And they'll just go on, and the head is down, and the sheep cannot find its way back. And further it gets away from the fold, then more and more does it get into the danger. It is an animal that cannot defend itself like some other animals can, and therefore the danger that potentially it can get into because of its actions is of the most extreme. And that is the picture that is shown here by the Lord of Glory where it concerns man in his spiritual state. He is lost. And that in no small part is due to his own stupid decisions and actions that he takes, because the will and heart of man is inclined towards sin, and it has ever been since that decision that Adam took in that garden of taking that forbidden fruit. That which was forbidden him. That which he was told if he was to partake, it would be upon the threat of death. "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And because the will and the heart of man is inclined towards sin, then further and further he goes on into sin, and then the greater the danger of that eternal destruction and damnation when he falls over the precipice into that great lost eternity. The greatest need, therefore, for you tonight, if you're not saved, is that you might be found. And here is something that you cannot do of yourself. The sheep in our parable cannot do anything of itself. There is no indication in any of these verses that any cry of the sheep was ever heard. There is no corresponding action that helps it to be found. The sheep can do nothing to contribute to its own rescue. This is dependent entirely upon another, and that other is the shepherd who searches and understand something about this search. Understand from these verses that that search is personal. The Lord says in verse 5, when he hath found it. It implies a searching, but more than that, it identifies the one who does the searching, and that is the shepherd. Verse 6, the truth is again repeated, I have found the sheep that was lost. It is the shepherd who extends the call unto the sheep. It is the call of the gospel that is freely offered to all who will hear it. It is that call above the voice of the preacher, that call whereby the sinner is troubled in their sin and there is conviction in the soul, and where before there was no recognition of your lost condition, there now is, because the great shepherd of his sheep has come and he is dealing with your heart and he is dealing with your soul. It isn't the Savior's searching confirmed by other scriptures? Don't we have those words in Luke 5 and 32? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Isaiah 45 and 4, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. And I want to tell you something, man or woman, young person tonight. The Lord in mercy is yet calling in the gospel. He's still calling. We're still in the day of his grace. And you'll see and understand that this searching is not only personal, it is particular. It is blatantly obvious that the concentration of the shepherd in the parable is upon one object, just one sheep. And in the other parts, just one coin, just one son. And dear sinner, it reminds us of the particular redemption that Christ was to purchase on the cross for individuals. It was to the cross that he went, so in order that he might redeem the people unto himself, the sheep whom the Father gave to him from eternity past. And on that cross, he had those sheep in his heart. And I want to tell you tonight, if there was only one sinner to be saved in all the world down through the passage of time, then Christ still would have went to the cross, and Christ still would have endured the suffering, the same suffering, and Christ still would have shed his own precious blood. He still would have paid the same penalty that one sinner might be redeemed. What a thought! What a blessed thought to consider that the Christ of God deals with sinners as individuals. Wasn't that also the case during his earthly ministry? Amidst that great crowd one day, he dealt with one woman who had the issue of blood. That one woman that came and touched but the hem of his garment. Amidst the great multitude in that city, he came and he stood at the foot of one tree. And he looked up and he called one by the name of Zacchaeus. Even unto himself, at that crowded pool of Bethesda, there was but one man who was made whole. In John chapter 4, we read, he must needs go through Samaria, a country that the Jew would circumvent so as to get around it, because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why did the Lord go through it? He did so because the Savior has a love for individuals. And there was just one woman. One woman there whom he was in search of. One woman who had five husbands and yet was now living with a man. And there we have this woman meeting with Christ. The Christ of God was to meet with her at the well, and she was gloriously converted. She was gloriously saved. I wonder, is there one woman, one individual tonight under the sound of my voice, and God has brought you here because He's searching, and He's searching for you? Christ deals with individuals. You'll consider also that this searching is persevering. See the words at the end of verse 4? It speaks of going after that which is lost until He find it. Searching of the shepherd is not hindered by veil, by mountain, or by storm. He searches until He has found that sheep that is at loss, that sheep that is in danger. And you know, so it is in the spiritual context. So it is with Christ, dear friend, tonight. He is yet searching, for there are others that are not of this fold, and them also He must bring. And that search will persevere until that last sheep for whom He died on the cross will be found. You think of the words of John 6 and verse 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." There are many of God's people, and tonight we will be eternally thankful that He didn't stop searching for us. He persevered. And I'm sure you might be able to bear testimony, as I can, that often I sat in meetings just like this and I heard the voice of the Lord calling in mercy and in salvation, but I went out. I rejected that call. And I rebelled. Maybe that's just like you tonight. And yet we thank God that He persevered for us. And He called again. Until He found us and plucked us as brands from the burning. What about you tonight? Have you been found of Christ? Or are you still in your darkness of your sin? Are you still in danger of being eternally lost? Search. You know, there's something else here. You can't miss it. The sheep. In modern evangelism of today, much is often made of decisions. The assumption is that man must decide for Christ if he is to be saved. Just you sign that decision card and you'll be all right. Just you make that commitment. Just you make that decision. Therefore, by implication, the whole matter lies within the will of man to determine. Now you look closely. You look closely at the words of these verses and they will reveal that when the shepherd approached that lost sheep, no mention of any option been given. There's no mention of any decision on the part of the sheep. The sheep is not asked whether it wants to be rescued or not, but rather instead consider with me the raising of that sheep. Look at verse 5. "And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders." When the searching shepherd was to eventually find the sheep that was lost, he very simply takes it from where it was and he raises it up. And he raises it up to lay it on his shoulders. It was Benjamin Keach, a preacher of the 17th century, who said about this, and I quote, "Christ findeth his lost sheep and taketh it up into his arms denotes grace. Such grace that the sinner cannot resist or withstand. Not that he forces the will, but he sweetly inclines it, and he makes the unwilling to be willing in the day of this his power." The possession of the fine sheep is totally different to where it was when it was lost. The sheep that was close to the earth is now raised up by the shepherd, and while it is in this world, it is no longer of it. My dear sinner friend, out in the storms of this world, that is what Christ does in salvation. His grace is able to find you even amidst the very worst of company. You see, that is what the complaint of the Pharisees was against the Lord here. He receiveth sinners. The notorious. Those who are despised, and receiveth them, and he eats with them, and when he finds them, he transforms his sheep. His grace lifts up the sheep from the mire and from the filth of this world and the sin in which they were in. Isn't that what we read in Ephesians chapter 2 in the words of verse 4? The opening verses of chapter 2 speak of the sinner before conversion, before they were saved. They're dead in trespasses and sin. They're walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. They're children of disobedience, even as others. But there's a great but. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen to how Hannah was to speak of it in 1 Samuel 2. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the kingdom of glory, the throne of glory. I wonder where are you found this evening. You'll understand that the sheep is one who is resting upon the shepherd here. From being lost and in grave danger, the sheep is found now to be led upon the shoulders of the shepherd. He layeth it on his shoulders. And as such, it cannot be in any safer place. For you know, if the sheep will be attacked, the shepherd will be attacked first of all. It's close to him. It's near his voice. And dear sinner, that is what Christ does for a sheep in salvation. For when they're found, they're safe and they're secure, resting by faith in Christ alone. The burden of the sheep is upon the shepherd. He's resting upon his shoulders. The one who has the government of this world upon his shoulder is the Christ who carries his sheep upon his shoulders. And the shoulders speak of strength. Tell me, is there any better place that the sheep could be tonight and in union with the Savior, with Christ our Shepherd, and secure in His control? To take the words of that best known psalm, it is only the saved sinner who can say, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. It's Christ who secures the sheep, who keeps the sheep, for they cannot keep themselves, who defends the sheep against the wolf and the lion. To depend entirely upon the Lord Jesus Christ is to rest upon one who has conquered them all. For there at the cross he was to bruise the head of the old serpent. He was to bruise the head of the roaring lion at Calvary. He was like David of old to snatch his people from the jaws of our adversary through the death of his cross, through the rising again victoriously over death and the grave. And tonight he lives, and he ever lives to make intercession for his sheep, bearing them up before his Father in glory. Let me ask you, what are you resting upon tonight for salvation? If it's not in Christ alone by faith, then you've no security. You're yet in danger of being eternally lost.
You might also see here that for the sheep it was rescued. It had no power to rescue itself. It needed another to come, another to deliver it from the danger. And so it is, my friend, with you tonight and your undone state before God. You need to be rescued. You need to be rescued from sin and Satan that binds you. You need to be rescued from your own self-righteousness and your own efforts. You need to be rescued from dependence upon a mere outward show of religion and form like the Pharisees of the Lord's day had. You need to be rescued from the judgment of God against sin in the place of the damned, that place that the Lord was to speak of in the very next chapter in Luke's Gospel. Place of no mercy. For the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. There's no mercy there. Not even the smallest. Not even a drop of water on his burning tongue. There's no answer to prayer there. There's no escape there. There's no pacifying of the conscience there. There is only one who can effect the rescue of your soul from such a place, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the Savior who made His soul an offering for sin. Will you be that sheep that is found of Christ tonight and the saved? Search the sheep, the shepherd. It's abundantly clear from the parable that the shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the salient points of the shepherd are found within the context of this parable. You'll notice his priority is revealed. What was it? But to leave everything behind so that he might go and search and he might find the sheep that was lost. The other responsibilities, they're put in their proper place so that he might focus his attention on that sheep that is not in the fold. Dear loved one, without God's salvation, the application is plain. The scriptures make it clear that the Lord Himself was to leave the glory He had with the Father behind, that He might come to this world, that He might take unto Himself the form of our nature yet without sin. He came in order to redeem His people unto Himself. His priority was the redemption of His sheep. Before His incarnation, the psalmist spoke of the Savior's purpose as coming to do His Father's will and delighting in it. In the event of His incarnation, the message to Joseph was, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." During His earthly ministry, He continually referred to His impending death in terms of laying down His life for His sheep. And after He rose again from the dead, the message that the apostles were to take to the lost and to the dying world was the finished redeeming work of the cross. You look at the last chapter of Luke 24 in the words of verse 46. He said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." That was the disciples' remit. That was what they had to go and preach. Christ the Redeemer. The priority of the great shepherd of our souls was to redeem His sheep. That is why He set His face as a flint toward Jerusalem, turning not to the left hand nor to the right. That is why He endured the cross. That is why He fulfilled all the demands of God's holy law. That is why He finished the work, rejecting the calls of those below and standing around the cross to come down from the cross and to save thyself. He rejected those calls.
He instead was to fulfill those words, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for, in the place of, in the stead of, his sheep." And when we speak of redemption, there is, of course, the price that had to be paid. Why does the shepherd so diligently and earnestly and continually search for his lost sheep? Is it not because he paid the price of their redemption? He purchased them from the slave market of sin, and that price was the giving of his own precious blood. For without the shedding of blood there is no remission, and the Christ of God and the shepherd of our souls was to lay down his life, in that in him we might know redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And you know, with the shepherd there's praise offered. There's praise when the sheep that was lost is found. You'll notice three times it is mentioned in verse 5, rejoicing. Verse 6, rejoice with me. Verse 7, likewise joy. Three times over, there's rejoicing when that soul is safely brought home. Verse 6, Christ will never lose one of his sheep. They're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, it says, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. He doesn't lose them. Dear sinner, tonight, don't you listen to the lies of the devil, that if you come and get saved, you'll not be able to keep it. It's not you that does the keeping. The great shepherd of your soul redeemed each one of his sheep with his own precious blood, is able to keep them. And he keeps us until he reaches home, the fold. There is rejoicing in heaven over that one sinner that repented. Rejoicing among the spirits of just men made perfect, the church in heaven. And there will be rejoicing among the church in earth tonight. If, sinner, you would turn to Christ and accept him as your Lord and as your Savior, will there be rejoicing tonight over another one having been found and been part of the fold of God? I wonder, will you turn from your sin where there's no repentance, there's no salvation? Will you repent tonight? Will you heed Christ's call in the gospel and come and be saved? May God help you for his glory's sake. And then, and you'll be able to sing, "I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died. And I might ever end his love confide." May that be your song tonight as you leave this house. Will you come? God help you. May God bless his word to each of our hearts for his own name's sake. Father and our God, we pray in the closing seconds of this meeting, dear souls that are without Christ might hear the voice of Jesus calling unto them. We pray, Lord, that they would come to Jesus just as they are, There might be a looking away by faith to the Christ, who is the great shepherd, the one who laid down his life for his sheep. O God, we thank the Lord for the message of redeeming grace. We thank the Lord this evening now we're able to cleanse the vilest sinner clean. Lord, we pray when man's voice is silent, thou might speak on, the best would yet to be. Bring souls even unto thy fold. O God, answer prayer. Answer prayer for Jesus' sake. Part us with thy blessing now. Give journey of mercies home. And O God, accept of our thanks for thy presence with us already today. We pray in our Savior's precious name.